Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. When Daniel Norcott got a hold of his father's video camera at the age of 7, a lifetime of documenting the world around him began. Growing up, he focused his lens on his family and close friends, and as a young man, he recorded precious moments with people and places he encountered on his travels, striving to live a life of love and seek out universal human connection. On a mission to pursue an epic adventure, Daniel visited war zones, sacred sites, including a Mayan burial ground in a cave in Mexico. This documentary film is called Daniel. It is premiering on HBO on December 20th, so be looking for it. It's a life-affirming film. He lived a life where he sought out the best in humanity. We're joined today by the producer as well as the sister of Daniel Norcott, Erin Norcott. Erin, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Mike.
Knowing what I know now after having watched the film and knowing how difficult it is to make a film of any kind, documentary, narrative, you name it, the commitment involved in doing such a thing, financing, finding the right people, all of the things that go into making a film, but also seeing how incredibly personal this project would have had to have been for you to be a part of. So let's go back to the time in which you said yes to making this film.
This started as my brother was in his last 48 hours, I believe, before he passed away. And my mom and I were reading his will. And my mom was like, do you know that he's left you his footage? And he's made the request in his will that you complete his film. And I looked at the paper and I saw the request. And I thought about talking to Daniel about it. But he was in a very weakened state, and there was so much going on, just kind of keeping him comfortable, and it just didn't feel right. I kind of wanted to just be with him. So I was at that point sleeping with him every night and just, you know, staying close. So I didn't really talk to him, oddly, you know, I didn't bring it up like, well, so what am I supposed to do? Or what do you want? Because that's kind of what I would be asking, right? I just let it go. I think it was too overwhelming to really dive into. And actually, it took me 3 years to come around to the point of feeling strong enough to even view any of the footage, because I would need to show his footage to people to be able to get the film made. And I didn't think I'd be able to actually watch his footage with anybody and not be too emotional or it not just affect me for days. But I did reach that stage where I could sit in a room and watch footage and show people footage. And I just kept showing it until one thing led to another.
Let's ask a basic question. We know that your brother was a filmmaker, that we see in the film, his life was devoted to telling stories, documenting his life and the life of others. How much experience did you have going into this project as a filmmaker?
None at all. I think my brother was crazy for films that won awards that were mostly foreign films. He just loved them. So he would make me watch them with him quite a lot. That was the only film education I had, was him sitting me down and telling me why this is a good film. Like, watch this part right here. See how the director does this. And I was pretty much doing it just for him. I wasn't even interested, really, but I did see some good films, and that was my experience with film.
Did you see many documentaries along the way?
Before? A lot. He was an avid watcher of foreign film and documentaries for sure.
If you didn't know before, you know how difficult it is to make a film, to get a film off the ground, to find the financing. On top of everything else, in addition to the personal commitment to doing this, did you have any idea what you were getting into?
No, I think it's sort of like becoming a parent. you know, but it just seems like it'll be great. It'll be fine, you know, and then you're up in the night with, you know, a sick child or whatever. And, you know, you're like, I don't know how to do this. Like, but you just do it. You do it because you love, you know, I love my brother like I love my child, and I love his memory. And it is really, truly just only sheer love that can drive you through. It's like why you just keep being the best parent you can be and keep renewing yourself and forgiving yourself. The same thing as trying to do this film for me was like, just, I made so many mistakes, and it took me 11 years to get to this point where it's actually coming out. But it was love. It was just pure love. That's what I would give up. And then that love comes back into your heart and you're like, I can't give up. Like, you know, I love Daniel too much, and I don't think I could live with myself if I give up. So I just have to keep going.
I'm going to circle back to the filmmaking part of your story, because there's a lot to be praised about the film. But let's talk about your brother, Daniel. And as we see in the film, from almost the opening frame of the film, this infectious love of life, this commitment to life in a way that few of us actually have the bravery to live in the moment. He seemed to me like someone who, if he wasn't, he was trying to live in the moment. And that was for him the way to live life. And that joy comes across in the film over and over and over again. Tell us a little bit about your brother from your vantage point.
Yeah. I mean, from my vantage point, you know, there's a lot of sisterly stuff in there. If it's, you know, when you're promoting a film, if you go into the sibling realm, but because there's all the love, but there's also all the rivalry. And, you know, we definitely had a very real relationship. So when I think of him, I think of all the love. And I also think of him driving me completely insane. And I also think of how much he inspired me. And him being a younger brother and him feeling like an older brother, really, in our adult years, because he somehow just knew so much about humanity and about how to connect. And he was developing his own theories about the world, and they were like his own religion. He was so committed to who he was. I was just trying to figure out who I was. And it was like he was fully formed most of his life. Well, I remember thinking he was a real dork because he was not conforming, like doing what everyone else was doing, because he was such an individual. And now I realize, like, that was when I was a teenager. Now I realize, wow, what an amazing being, like, that he came into the world and wouldn't change as a teenager, really was who he was the whole way through. He was this guy filming, this guy talking about interconnectedness, he was a huge David Suzuki fan, and he really believed in humanity and planet Earth and the link that we all share as people on this earth. I think also making the film made me admire him even more and realize even on a deeper level how much he meant to people, because people reach out to me every day that he just met traveling. You know, and what an impact he had just in one evening, you know, on them. Yeah.
You see that in the film. You see it very often in the film, and the energy and this belief in we're all the same in some level, and that we're this kind of universality of his outlook on life. He was an inquisitive man, one who wanted to find out more. And I got the impression he never presumed that he knew more, that he wanted to find out more. You know, in a way that, you know, and that comes across so incredibly well. And I'm sure he was a pain. There's a scene at the very beginning where I think you're making brownies or something, cookies or something, and he's still filming, and he won't stop filming. And despite all of the admonishments on the part of everyone.
And that's partly because the film, like, tapes in those days were quite expensive. You know, they were the big VHS.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so my parents would always keep telling him, only 5 seconds. Like, don't, like, that's all we can afford. 5 seconds. Like, don't, and he couldn't help himself. He just wanted to keep on going.
The film Daniel, the documentary film Daniel, is going to be streaming on Max, but not before its premiere on Wednesday, December 20th on HBO. And it's an infectious film. We get to see so many people in his life and how they were along for the ride. Just kind of hold on to Daniel and just sort of, you know, follow the leader. But he had people who guided him through his life. You see, you give love, you get love. That's how he was, right? You give love to people, they come back. I love the part of the film where you got a job in Taiwan as a teacher. And one of the things that you asked of them was that they hire him as well. And to see him with those kids in that classroom is a great, I think, a great insight into him as a person and what he brought to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he did not start out as a good teacher. So that was him like about 2 years in. You know, if you saw footage of him in the beginning, I mean, there was some hilarious stuff. Like, you know, he really grew. And that is testament to who he is. He wanted to be a good teacher and he just kept on studying it and working on it. And he became excellent. You know, his class at first, his class was just a wild, bumbling place of children knocking into each other. And it became a very controlled, healthy environment that he had good class control and, you know, he captivated his student audience and everything became, yeah. Excellent. So that's what you get to see.
Yeah, that's what we saw. We're speaking with Erin Northcott. She is the producer of the film and the director is Daniel Northcott, who are the subject and who we're talking about now. Ballpark it for us. How many countries did he visit? How many, sort of give us a sort of the overview of where he traveled.
He traveled 42 countries. We counted them out when he was in his hospital bed. It was kind of a fun activity going through all his passports and sort of, you know, figuring it all out. You know, Taiwan was a jumping off point for us because we needed to save money to be able to travel. We both wanted to travel, but we had only been able to save enough money for a one-way ticket somewhere. And we had a cousin in Taiwan that got us there. So they like said, come here, you know, and so we worked as English teachers and we saved up money. And then on our breaks, we started to go traveling. And that's the way it started. After about 4 years, Dan didn't need me at all. And he was on his own. And that's what you see in the film. I mean, he was a really, really experienced traveler and he could get everywhere with his backpack. He traveled mostly by land. So he saw a lot and he was very thrifty. So he was able to stay out there in the world for quite a long time. He often made friends with people who took him in for the night. And so he covered like a lot of the Middle East, Asia, North Africa, the Philippines, Indonesia. I'm going to forget stuff like Europe. I mean, you know, he just kept going. Yeah.
And importantly, Central and South America as well, as we know in the film.
Of course. See, I knew I was going to forget stuff.
No, it's okay. I want to talk about the filmmaking because I thought the way that the story unfolds, the way you tell a story is a masterclass in that in the first 10 minutes or so, you get a lot of information about him, a lot of things that will become more important as the film goes forward. But also, and I just love the editing. I mean, I thought the film just really fit together very well because with this kind of a sprawling kind of story, things can kind of wander off into other parts of the story that aren't as interesting. I thought the film just had a really great pace to it, entertaining, insightful. You get to know the people that were important to him in his life and a sense of not only his enthusiasm, but his vulnerability in this film that is so, it is the thing that elevates the film and beyond a documentary. It is into something else because we all can relate to what he was going through in some level.
I have to say that all of what you're describing, the film in within the filmmaking and the editing is really thanks to the amazing team I had. I could have never pulled together a film like this without everybody that helped. So we started to form a team. And in the beginning, you know, I met Jeff Waxman and Jennifer Madeloff, and we then met Ricky and Dan at Neighborhood Films. And then they brought in John Connor to edit. And then we had this beautiful thing. And then Jeff and Jen met Adam and Kevin at Hyper Object. And then they brought in HBO. And then there was this beautiful, like, Amazing. Like, how incredible could you imagine? Like, I couldn't have imagined that this incredible sort of orbit of people came together, surrounded the project, and were giving input and bringing their talents to it. I mean, it was surreal. It was everything my brother would have ever wanted, and it would not have been like this without any of those people. Like, everyone had their interconnected role, and it flowed, and it was beautiful.
I was just going to say, and the one person who I think could have imagined all this coming together was Daniel, because
Yes.
he did put it out there. He put it out to the universe, and the
That's right.
universe answered back in this case. It's Adam McKay. I love Adam McKay. Congratulations on the team that you put together. Of course, you've got Nancy Abraham and Lisa Heller from HBO and Tina Nguyen as well. But just a beautiful film. Yeah, it really truly is, and it's an enlightening film on a lot of different levels, and the energy that's coming off of the film is really something special. So my congratulations, Aaron Northcott. I hope you're going to continue no matter how your life moves forward, but you did a wonderful job with this film, and you should be congratulated. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it feels amazing to have something that I can feel so proud of. And I'm so grateful to everyone that helped me. And yeah, thank you for helping get the word out about the film, because I'm really excited for everybody that wants to view it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Again, the film is called Daniel. It is going to be premiering on HBO on this Wednesday, December 20th. Be looking for it, as well as streaming on Max. And we've been joined today by the producer and sister of Daniel Northcott, and that would be Aaron Northcott. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Mike.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.